Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. It's the Tournament of Roses Parade as you have never heard it before. Say anything we want, do anything we want. That's what we're going to be doing on January the 1st as the Phil Hendry Show goes live, uncensored, and unedited on the Internet via an audio webcast, complete with all of our favorite guests. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear the Phil Hendry Show without limits. You can't hear it on the radio. You can't see it on TV. Uncensored, unedited, listen via the Internet for only $4.95. Go to www.philhendryshow.com for all the details. That's www.philhendryshow.com for details. Listen all next week for your chance to win tickets to see me do a live broadcast, special live broadcast, the Museum of Television and Radio on Thursday, November 2nd. Your key to win will be a daily password. I will announce each day's password and a fax number for you to enter to win. And when you hear me announce the day's password, fax in your name, your home telephone number, and the special password. Winners will be... You know what we ought to make our first password? Password. That ought to be the password. I bet you never in the history of passwords did anybody ever say, what's the password? It's password. That's what it is. Like in World War II, when they were trying to keep the Germans from infiltrating the Allied lines, you know, after D-Day. Guy says, okay, what's the password? Is it password? You got it. Go. You're through. Anyway, so that'll begin next Monday. Listen all next week for your chance to see the show live. It's going to be at the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills. They've got a beautiful facility there. Just a great, beautiful, wonderful place to peruse and enjoy the history of television and radio. And that's on Rodeo there in Beverly Hills. People seem to enjoy watching us do our show live. Because I think it's a radio show that is kind of visual, too. So if you'd like, that's how we're going to do this next week. We're trying to be fair with the number of tickets that we disseminate for this thing. Now, today is Friday the 13th. And not only is it Friday the 13th, it's October. And not only is it October, Friday the 13th, there is a vivid, bright, full moon all across the earth on this eve. And it almost feels like Halloween, even though Halloween's 2 weeks away. It almost feels like it ought to be Halloween tonight. And even the kids were remarking, oh, man, it's Friday the 13th, and Melissa's up in San Francisco with her fiancé, and she didn't want to fly because she was afraid of flying on Friday the 13th, and a whole bunch of bullcrap. So people are kind of mindful of that day. Mike was perusing some websites today, and he came across some interesting websites and some disturbing websites having to do with vampirism. And vampire sects, one of which is populated by teenagers, and it's right here in Southern California. Now, we are not going to mention any high schools, although I know the high school that this young man that we're going to bring on, I know the high school that he goes to. I'm familiar with it. This is a coven of vampires. Now, are they really undead sleeping in? Well, let me just ask the young guy right now. And this is R.C. Collins, right, R.C.? How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, right off the bat, you don't believe you can sleep in your native soil and...
No. We do not do that, Mr. Hendry. We are very much of this earth.
All right. So, but you are vampires.
Yes, sir, we are.
You consider yourself to be...
We consider ourselves to be a brotherhood. We belong to a sect. We do have certain rituals. And we do believe that in sharing of the life essence, that we do bring ourselves spiritual immortality.
How old are you? Excuse me. How old are you?
You got a cold?
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 16, and...
You're a junior.
I'm a junior in high school, yes, sir.
Okay. Are your parents, R.C., aware of what you're doing?
Mr. Hendry... That's a question that we do not choose to answer. Whenever any of us give an interview to the press, either at the radio, television, or newspaper level, we don't go there.
Why not?
Because, frankly, we are of our own mind, we are of our own sect, and we don't believe we have to answer to any artificially constructed parental paradigm. So, we just give us the decency and the dignity of being, you know, who we are.
Okay, I'm not trying to say that you're not of your own mind or even old enough to make your own decisions, but do you live at home?
I am currently tethered to my mother.
Do you love your mother?
I'm sorry?
Do you love your mother?
Yes, I do love my mother, and I love my father. But this is beyond love of mother and father. This is the love of the earth and the goddess earth. And it is also a love of the dark, in the night, in the dark.
Okay.
That's a little prayer that we use.
All right. Your sect is called what?
Phil, our sect is called the Mystery of the Blood Chalice. We are goth, and we do enjoy the music of The Cure and Robert Smith's lyrics especially. And if I may, I'd like to quote one of Robert Smith's...
Robert Smith is the lead singer of The Cure?
Yes, he is.
Okay. And what did you want to quote?
Well, it's a prayer that we use one of the lyrics of The Cure, and it is a prayer. It's from a song by The Cure called Blood. Tell me who doesn't love. What can never come back? You can never forget...
Now, whoa.
Yes, sir?
Okay, you're saying it in a way. What is that?
That is our Mystery of the Blood Chalice cadence. That is the what you would call the inflection that we give it.
Why do you do that?
Well, we believe every prayer is like a song. We do believe that the origins of the Mystery of the Blood Chalice are in Eastern Europe, and so we do try to be as much like our Creator as we can. And
well, what are you trying to sound like? I mean,
I realize we're humorous to you.
No, but just tell me, are you trying to sound like Dracula?
No, sir, we are not. We are trying to sound like the Eastern European practitioners of the Mystery of the Blood Chalice, who originated the mystery.
So you're trying to sound like you come from Transylvania?
Eastern Europe.
Okay, go ahead.
Tell me who doesn't love. What can never come back? You can never forget.
Okay, I have to,
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, come on. Did the kid hang up? Mike, do you have the contact number on him? If tell him I won't laugh. I'm sorry. I won't laugh at him. Please get him back on the line. It's unbelievable. This kid is a junior in high school here in the Los Angeles area. He is part of a sect called the Mystery of the Blood Chalice. They are vampires, and they apparently are very much into the music of The Cure. He said that he's goth, too. Is that the same thing? I don't know. He said he's goth. He said he's into, and here he is, okay? So, RC, I apologize.
I want you to know that this is my religion. And
yes, sir, and I apologize very much.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to be laughed at. They're in the middle of their religion.
I understand that, sir. I apologize.
I'd like to complete the prayer, and I'd like to do it in an atmosphere of understanding for my religion, Mr. Henry, the same respect I'd give you in your religion.
That is a fair statement, and I will certainly... So these are the lyrics to the song Blood by The Cure, and you also use it as a prayer.
This is the precursor prayer to our partaking of the essence.
And by that, you mean drinking blood?
Drinking blood, yes.
Are you going to drink blood here on the air tonight?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead.
This is Blood. It's by Robert Smith of The Cure. Tell me who doesn't love, who can never come back. You can never forget how it used to feel. The illusion is deep. It's as deep as the night. I can tell by your tears you remember it all. I am paralyzed by the blood of Christ. Though it clouds my eyes, I can never stop. How it feels to be dry, walking bare in the sun. Every mirage I see is a mirage of you. And that is the prayer, the precursor.
Okay, and that is a precursor to you drinking blood.
Yes.
All right, tonight on our show, this young man, R.C. Collins, is going to drink blood. And he is with a sect called Mystery of the Blood Chalice. They consider themselves to be vampires. They also consider themselves to be goth. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Do you do any animal sacrifice?
No, we do not.
Do you harm other human beings?
No, sir, we do not.
All right. Are you in any way, would you call yourself satanic?
No, we are not satanic. We are the mystery of the blood chalice. We're goth. We're into Guar, The Cure. Also, although we don't think they're that good anymore, Cirith Ungol.
I imagine these are bands?
Yes, they are.
Do you think Guar is any good anymore?
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, man. He hung up again. All right, get him back on. You know something? I'm just going to have to be straight with this kid. 1-800-449-8686. Tell him we want to do the blood sacrifice thing that he's going to do, too, Mike. 1-800-449-8686. We're the kid named R.C. Collins. He's a vampire. He is a member of a vampire sect and also is goth. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Dark, like that.
Okay, RC?
Yes, sir.
All right, I will not laugh, and I will attempt to respect your ritual. We're with R.C. Collins. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and we are basically talking with R.C. about the mystery of the... What is that?
Phil, this is the music of our liege, who we consider to be our Lord, Robert Smith of The Cure. Let's listen.
Okay, R.C.? R.C., put him on hold. Put the kid on hold. He's got to understand that he can't... do that, okay? Okay, back, RC?
I'm awfully sorry, but basically what we do is listen to the music of The Cure, we then say our prayer, and then we begin to partake of the essence, the blood essence, as the mystery of the blood chalice unfolds. And
you're 16 years old, and you're sucking human blood.
We do drink human blood, yes, sir.
All right, So you need that music.
Yes, we do.
Well, please keep it lowered so we can hear your prayer and hear you talking, all right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
And, Mr. Hendry, if you're...
We are ready for you. This is R.C. Collins. He is with the Mystery of the Blood Chalice. We are allowed into a religious service right now that is a vampire sect. He's going to be... drinking human blood. I'm just going to let you do this. Go ahead.
We begin with a prayer. The mystery of the blood chalice, Mr. Hendry, is the mystery of Earth. We take this instrument and we draw the essence from our host. What I am doing right now, Mr. Hendry, is I have a pin and I am going to draw blood from my own finger with the pin. And,
oh, okay. Okay, RC, did you prick yourself?
Yes, I did. I now squeeze some of the blood essence out of the end of my finger, and as a vampire, I must relish this moment, because I am now about to suck the blood. I'm feeling a little lightheaded.
Are you sucking your own blood?
Yeah.
In other words, you pricked your own finger, and you're drinking your own blood.
Yes, I am.
What did you say?
Yes, I am. Hold on for a minute. I'm drinking my own blood, yeah.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Yeah?
I thought that you guys drank each other's blood. How many people are in the Mystery of the Blood Chalice?
We've got three guys right now that are guys that are also in the band at school. So...
Are you, in other words, not drinking their blood? You're... What are you doing now?
Well, right now I'm sitting here... Hold on. I have on my hood, which is the Mystery of the Blood Chalice cape. I'm holding a scepter. And the three members of my sect, whose names I cannot use... For they are unnameable and unmentionable. They are those that cannot be named. They are at my feet.
Wait a minute, man. So you're sitting there in a cape with a hood and you're sucking on your own finger.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Look.
All right, man. I just want to... RC?
Yeah, hold on. Yes, sir.
All right, so your sect, the Mystery of the Blood Chalice, is a sect that drinks not other people's blood, but...
No, that'd be gross. That we're not... God. You kidding me?
Well, what are you doing, man?
You drink anybody else's blood. That's gross to the extreme. What we do is partake of our own host. Why?
Well, it just,
Mr. Henry, we found that our religion has been insulted many times.
I'm not insulting your religion, man. You're sitting in a cape in the basement of your mom's house, sucking on your own finger. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to be a vampire, you have to drink someone else's blood.
Well, we tried that. One of the unnameable tried that, and he threw up...
Well, yeah, forget it with the unnameable. These guys got names.
One guy's name is Justin.
Okay.
Justin tried it. He tried to suck out of Brian's neck.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Play some music.
Just get some more blood here.
So Justin tried to suck out of Brian's neck, and it was gross?
What?
Justin tried to suck out of Brian's neck, and it was gross, huh?
Oh, no.
So now you guys sit around sucking on your own fingers.
Mr. Andy, hold on for a minute.
Oh, God, this kid's sickening. Put him on hold, will you? I can't listen to this guy sucking on his own finger. Mike, I wanted a vamp. Is this one of the vampire sects that you found online? What's this kid's website? He's got his own website? He started it up with the help of Tripod or something? I mean, what? You know, is it Angel? BarnabasCollins.com. All right, well, all he's doing is he's sitting there in one of his mom's, tablecloths that he spray-painted black, and he's sucking his own finger. I do not call that a vampire sect. Unfreaking believable, man. Get this kid back on. All right, hey, RC. Hey, RC.
Yes, sir.
All right, how long does the blood sucking continue, man?
Robert Smith is gone.
How long does the blood sucking continue?
I'm going to knock it off now because I'm getting a little lightheaded. But I've been sucking out of my own finger now for about 5 minutes. You see, Mr. Henry, in order for me to continue my vampire state, I must suck from the host until he's almost dead. And then...
Wait a second. How can you...
I have to suck from the host.
How can you suck from the host until he's almost... You're drinking your own blood and putting it right back into your own body.
I'll bet I drank about a gallon of blood. You'll see.
Wait a second, man. Hold on.
What?
How can you drink from the host until he's almost dead when you're drinking your own blood and swallowing it back into your own body?
Oh, well, see, now you're just dissing our culture, see?
I'm not dissing your culture, man. I'm asking a very logical question. I mean...
I've drunk a gallon of blood.
Yeah. All right, man. Put him on hold. I'm done with him. Next time you go on the website, find some vampire thing, man. The kid's sitting there sucking on his own finger. I drank a gallon of blood. Coming January 1st, the most innovative radio program in the history of radio turns the internet on its ear. The Phil Henry Show broadcasts the Tournament of Roses Parade, unedited and uncensored. Coming New Year's Day, it's a special live internet audio webcast featuring all of our favorite guests. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear the Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman, Margaret Gray, and R.C. Collins without limits. You can't hear it on radio. You can't see it on TV. Listen via the internet for only $4.95. Go to www.philhenryshow.com for details. That's www.philhenryshow.com for details. +1 800 449 8686, Phil Henry Show. The Middle East situation, I think, continues to trouble all of us, and it does beg for comment. This evening on my program, I would like to give you my thoughts and feelings on how we can once again restore peace to that region, that very troubled region of the world. I believe in many ways the Arab people and Israeli people should be brought together at the conference table. I think this needs to happen immediately because it is a matter of life and death. And okay, why? Hold on for a minute, Bud.
Yeah.
Why are there people laughing outside?
I don't know.
Well, there's people standing at the window. How you doing? There's people standing at the window laughing. I'm on the air right now. What is that?
There's nothing.
I believe. I apologize, folks. I believe that the Middle East situation is one that can be probably solved through just good old-fashioned negotiation. And by negotiation, I mean good, hard bargaining, but by the same token, a respect for... There's people standing at that window laughing at me, Bud. What is that?
I don't know. What does it matter?
Well, you're smirking, too, and I see everybody from the offices down the hall coming down here and laughing. What are they laughing at?
Phil, you're doing a great job. I don't know. They're probably laughing at some playback of your show or, you know, Bill Handel or something.
They're playing back Bill Handel out there?
Yeah. That's all it is.
Well, they're looking at me and laughing.
They're just looking at the glass.
All right. Again, forgive me, folks. The comment that I want to make about the Middle East is that this is a time of great opportunity. Let's not see this as a time of death or a time of mayhem. Let's see this as that there's people laughing at me, and I want to know why right now, or I'm not going to keep going on. Now, why are they outside laughing?
Phil, I'm going to go ahead and find out that.
Yeah, go out and find out. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but I have to take a break. It's something that I want to... What is it? What is it?
They're playing a comedy album in a comedy office down here, and everybody is like,
Well, why were they looking at me and laughing?
Because they were just there. The seat of blinds.
Yeah, we got blinds on the window. What about it?
They're just focusing on the blind. People focus on one thing when they hear, you know, it's not you. They're looking at the blinds.
They're looking at the blinds in my glass.
That's right.
They told you?
Yeah, they told me they're listening to comedy of the thing. See, now they're turned around. They're not even looking at you.
Well, they do have their back to me now, so I'm sorry, Bud.
Phil, you're really jumpy, and you're really kind of blowing it a little bit because I think you've got some important things to say about the Middle East.
I apologize.
But by you interrupting yourself like that, you see what happened now?
It's very unprofessional.
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm not about to tell you, but it's very unprofessional. Please don't, you know, Mr. Hall, teach me, you know, even to make a mistake, you keep it going.
I understand that, and I should know better. I've been in broadcasting for a long time. I apologize.
Just do it. You're doing a great job. Tell us about the Middle East and your thoughts and feelings on it.
As you can see, I prepared notes.
Yeah, I love it. Go ahead.
It is my feeling that this is a great opportunity for peace in the Middle East. This is an opportunity for the Arabs and Israelis to get together. In many ways... It's kind of funny when you think about it. They share a common... Boy, those people are laughing their ass off over there, aren't they?
Well, you just keep doing the thing.
And now they've stopped.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with you.
They were standing there.
Are they looking at you?
No, they have their back to me.
Then forget about it. Read from your notes. You prepared notes, right?
Yes, I have them right here.
Well, go ahead.
I believe that in many ways, the Middle East peace process is one that presents great opportunity for all of us. Yes, young people throw rocks. Young people are going to throw rocks. Why, when I grew up in Arcadia, California, I used to throw rocks through the... Boy, they're laughing their ass off. Now, I'm really...
Boy, are you paranoid.
Well, I don't know what it is, and it's making me crazy. Tell them to move away from the glass, okay?
All right. I'm going to have to do it now.
Just get up and tell them to move.
You're really unprofessional.
Well, I'm trying to be a pro. They're out there laughing, ha, 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 ha. I'm trying to do this.
You guys got to move now. Give them hope. All right, they moved. Do you see them?
No, they're gone.
Can we please do this now?
Yeah, we can do it.
Go ahead, do it. I mean, you're wasting...
I know, and I apologize to my listeners. I believe that in many ways, why, when I was a boy, I used to throw rocks. Throwing rocks is a part of being a kid. Now, what we need to do is give these young people a place where they can work out their aggressions. And I believe that with peace in the Middle East, there'll be a fantastic opportunity for them to begin to realize their dreams as a nation and as a homeland. You know, years ago, when I was telling a guy about the thing, and everything was great. I love all the top thing. It's really neat. People in the Middle East have a great opportunity, and what I would do is I would say to Yasser Arafat, he's pretty cheap, always do the best you can. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. Nay, and you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Or, as my grandfather used to say, can't make him think. Why, I remember back years ago, as a young boy, all of the things that I was taught, here's one of them. You always can do better. United we stand. That's why it's important for us to achieve peace in the Middle East. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's what I think. Now they're standing out there applauding.
Yeah, it was great.
They're applauding and laughing.
It was, we're not laughing at you. They're applauding you and laughing at the other thing.
I really think that I've blown the whole effect of what I had.
No, it was great. Everybody heard it.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's my opinion. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's how I feel about the Middle East. 1-800-449-8700. Right back on the Phil Hendry Show after these. Show 1-800-449-8686. Oh, we were just looking at the news, you know, and all the sick, I mean, real sick things that can go on in this world. And there are times when you say, well, I would just like to check out, you know, and like live that idyllic life. Go to that place that perhaps we've imagined. In fact, they say if you're into a creative visualization, how many of you guys are into creative visualization? How many of you guys know what creative visualization is? Well, creative visualization is simply training your mind to visualize how you want your life to be. And then they say, by visualizing it, you've created the energy that eventually makes that happen. Now, that's the theory. And so a lot of times with people who are sick or whatever, they tell you to visualize, you know, how well you want to be or, you know, curing yourself, et cetera. And then people, some people, I think, you know, or so I've been told, you know, they make themselves well. And I only say that to say that I have to find some way to introduce this next piece of information. Craig Taylor told me he would like to fly medical supplies into Indonesian tribes in a four-seater Cessna and then live with one of them. That's his idea of fun, and that doesn't sound bad. But then I asked Mike, what's your ideal thing? He said, I like L.A. I'll stay here for a while. If you don't mind, you can have your Cessna. I'm with Mike. No, I mean, that's a really cool thing. You were in the Philippines as a kid, right, Craig? So your idea of an idyllic, beautiful life would be to fly medical supplies into some of the tribes in Indonesia because a lot of those people need that, right? So at least you have an altruistic bone in your body, whereas Schaefer, all he wants to do is park his ass on a beach and have someone just bring him constant intravenous Don Julio Blanco. Yeah, where's the nearest bar? Boy, I'll tell you, man's life comes to that. It's sad. Well, you know what? I'm with you on that. Well, my idyllic thing, man, I always wanted to live on the ocean, you know. I always wanted to have a house on the ocean. But who can afford it anymore? And now I'm turning into a socialist. Because when I live here in California, and all of a sudden I realize, this dude lives on the beach. He owns that beach. Why should he be allowed to own that beach? I want to go to that beach, and I want to sit there. You know, in Mexico, you can't own beach. You can have a house on the beach, but you can't own the beach. That's why I like Mexico. That's why I go on vacation down there. Because I can walk on any stinking beach in Mexico, and no guy is going to come out of his back door and go, you're on my property. Johnny Carson isn't going to come out and chase me off of his beach. You know, so how can you own a sunset? How can you own the ocean? How can you own the beauty of all of the people that are out? Wait a second. That's the Doors. I thought it was the belly dancing music. I'm sorry. Is it cut eight, Mike? I just don't think it's fair. Anyway, it's going to be the 4th, of course, our casino night. And don't forget about our CD, which is going to be coming out, the number one rated Phil Henry Show CD. We have a one-man show plan. And let me once again tease our ticket availability for our live broadcast, which is going to be from the Museum of Television and Radio. Next week, I'm going to announce a password each day and a fax number for you to enter to win. When you hear me announce today's password, fax in your name, your home telephone number, and the special password that we give out. The winners will be randomly selected each day beginning next week. Listen all next week for your chance to see my show live. And we're going to do it in the 150-seat theater there at the Museum of Television and Radio. So that will be on, I think, November the 2nd or Thursday. So that's going to be kind of a busy, busy week. And like I said, our CD is coming out. And I think that pool tournament's shaping up real good. I was talking to some guys. I talked to our sales guys the other day. Man, they are totally jazzed. They are totally into that. So I got to get out and start playing pool, I guess. I guess I got to first start by beating my 9-year-old daughter. That would be a nice thing. If I could just beat her, if I could just beat a 9-year-old, that'd be great. I mean, here I am. My name's on the tournament. I got one of those breakdown sticks and a nice fancy bag to carry it in, and I can't beat a 9-year-old. Of course, that doesn't mean I have to win the thing just because my name's on the tournament. But I will definitely try to practice, and I'm going to have to practice drinking endless amounts of beer because you know that's what's going to happen, okay? You can get as good as you want. You can practice as long as you want. You get out there and you start sucking down 50 gallons of suds, man. All that practice goes right out the window. That's like every golf tournament that I've ever been in my life. You know, you fly to the resort or you fly to the hotel or you're going out to the golf tournament, and the night before you get together with your buddies. Now, you've been practicing, you know, every day for 6 months. You've been hitting hundreds of balls a day. You've been really getting your stroke back, getting that swing back. Go out there, pipe it down on a Friday night. You can barely crawl out of bed on Saturday morning, and you're vomiting by the fourth hole. You know, you practice your whole life through, and you're puking your guts up. And you're one of these guys, you suck until you've had a six-pack of beer, then you can start playing pool. Sounds good to me. There's no way that I can play. I can shoot pool after a beer. I can't play golf. There's no way that I can. You can't. The swing's gone, you know. You're whiffing, you know. You're hitting grass 3 feet behind the ball. It just doesn't work for me, you know. And I said, I really got to improve my golf game. Well, you can start by not drinking every hole. So we're really jazzed about that. And we've, you know, Yankee Doodles has got a lot of golf. You know what? Golf. Yankee Doodles has a lot of pool tables. Hollywood Athletic Club's got a lot of pool tables. There's all kinds of. What's with Yankee Doodles? What do they got, about 20 tables in there? They must. That's perfect. And we did a signing there. They got more. So I think that's going to be a great place to at least try and, you know, get things started. And I don't know where else, but I think it's only going to be a one-day tournament. It'll be like noon to 6, and then we're all out of there, okay? And we're not going to do any celebrity auction because there's only so much that I can deal with. So there you have it. You got our CD coming out. We've got a one-man show coming up. We've got a special surprise broadcast that we're going to lay on you when the time is right. We have our pool tournament coming up. We've got our one-man show coming up, and all of that in the months ahead. And, oh, yeah, not only CD but vinyl. We have picture discs, and I don't know anybody that's doing vinyl anymore, so if you collect this stuff, this is a picture disc that you may want to have with my big ugly face on it. Okay? So you guys going to go out and trick-or-treat tonight? I know it's only the 13th. Tonight's a pretty good night, don't you think? We're going out trick-or-treating tonight, okay? So I got to get home, man. I got to get all the pillowcases ready for the kids and make sure I steal all of that candy when they get home.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes. I think you're a complete idiot.
Hello?
Most Americans can figure out their own opinions. They don't need to.
Unfortunately, that's not true. Unfortunately, that's not true.
I don't think so.
Most Americans like to think they can figure things out.
I found your
radio. Put a gun to their head, and they
sir, you don't even have the respect to let anybody answer.
Ma'am, first of all,
you don't have the respect to have anybody finish their answer. That shows how much disrespect you have. For yourself,
hello?
For your radio program, and for the people of the United States.
Well, you're a woman. That's number one.
Oh.
Number two.
Sir,
what's that
equal?
Got to do with anything?
Well, I know, but women don't know a lot about this deal in particular.
I read a lot with my boyfriend. We read papers and magazines from all over the world, sir. There are very well-educated people in
this
country.
You read a lot with your boyfriend.
Maybe, sir, you are not educated.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you read to your boyfriend?
No, he reads to me, sir, because he gets...
Well, you should learn how to read. And you can
sir,
read.
She didn't say she can't read.
Sir,
she
I happen to be completely blind, so he orders the magazines.
See what happens when you're blind to life.
Oh, sir,
you're blind
you're
to life.
The biggest
Look,
jerk
open
I've
your
ever
eyes.
Heard.
Open your eyes,
you
ma'am.
She said she's blind.
Jerk
yes,
I've
she's,
ever heard.
She's
you know
barely blind.
You
and
are
no, she's
the
physically
idiot
blind.
On this radio show.
Look, you're a woman.
Start
plus, you listen to talk radio equals you
stupid.
Have no opinion.
You...
She said that she's physically blind. She can't see.
Ah, yes. Many
right.
of us can't see, Phil. But when we finally open our eyes to life...
She can't see because her eyes are blind.
My eyes were blind, too, once.
So,
but then I realized...
I see more than you. I see that you're a complete rude jerk that has no respect for your other person that's on the radio there.
I bet you like
no
that song by Johnny Nash.
Your other
I can see clearly now the rain.
Sir,
oh,
grow
man.
Up.
I am grown
no,
up.
You know
Look,
what,
it's
sir?
It's not important for a blind person to have an opinion about this because we'll never draft you anyway.
You are a pathetic human being.
David, why are you doing this to me, man?
What did I do?
You're saying...
Sewer? What's
sir,
your boyfriend's
you
name?
You are pathetic. I am smarter than you. I came on this radio
I
program because I was
like
looking
I can,
for
no?
another station. You are the biggest waste of time and waste of money that I've ever heard of.
Do you hear what you're doing, David? You're
Look at Phil. I'm doing a great job. Just let me go. So anyway, how you been?
You're a joke. You are the biggest joke I have ever heard in radio. You
ever,
really are.
Can I ask you something seriously?
And people that send you money for this to support this radio station.
Do you have one of those little white canes?
Are the idiots. You don't deserve to clean the toilets in that station.
You ever heard of Braille? Because your boyfriend
yes,
won't have
sir.
To. Well, then your boyfriend won't have to read to you.
Thank you.
Sir, they don't have most things in Braille.
Do they got Moby Dick in Braille?
Yes. But most people that are blind use four-track tape, sir.
I knew a
See
guy one time. This is really funny.
Are?
I knew a guy one time. This is pretty funny. He said to his girlfriend, hey, do you want to read
sir?
Moby Dick in Braille? And she said,
Why
sure.
Don't you
and he put her hand
up?
In his lap.
Why
I'll
don't
tell
you
ya.
Just
okay,
grow up? Because people like you are we what create wars all over the world.
What do you think
I am
Charles?
For the Palestinians having their own state and their own religion. And the United States could stop the war in 5 minutes.
Bull crap.
They give...
See, that just shows, how blind you really are.
All right. All right, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
And by the way, just one other thing. If you get those little white cane, you won't trip going over the curb while she hung up.
Bill Henry.